If you will, remain standing for the reading of God's holy word. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. So we will finish the Sermon on the Mount today, but we will not finish the Sermon on the Mount. So I will explain more about that later. So Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. Everyone and who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone then who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Praise God for his holy word. Please be seated. So throughout this sermon that Jesus delivered to his disciples, he corrected many false beliefs that we are still battling today. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has spoken truth that is not only extremely understandable, but overly clear, because his words confirm our salvation, or they confront our immediate need to enter the narrow gate. Today's verses bring to a close the Sermon on the Mount. Make no mistake, this sermon will not leave the hearts and minds of his children. These words will not be forgotten by those who have been justified, and they will not be forgotten by those who are convicted of their sin and have not turned to Christ. And if we are here this morning possessing assurance of our salvation, our lives, they are to be lived for the Lord. Those who have been purchased by Jesus Christ, by the blood of Christ, washed by his blood, let us hold fast to the truth that he has called us to himself and he has called us for himself. We are to live to the praise and the glory of God, not ashamed of the glorious gospel, telling others where they can find salvation. Matthew 7, 13 and 14, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Matthew 7, 21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So the gate to heaven is narrow, not wide. The way to heaven is hard, not easy. Few people will enter heaven, not the majority. Not everyone who believes themselves to be saved will enter heaven. Many who are busy with religious activities, they will not enter heaven. And those who enter heaven are those who do the Father's will. So many will hear on the day of judgment, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Our verses today, Matthew 7, beginning in verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. So truth number one is this: the wise man has a firm foundation that leads to eternal life in heaven. The wise man has a firm foundation that leads to eternal life in heaven. The sermon that Jesus Christ preached to his disciples was not a sermon that they were to take in and do nothing with. It was not to be copied down and memorized without responding with obedience. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So the call of Christ is to hear his words and obey his words. We are to act on or do what Jesus commands. To just listen to the words of Christ, to just use our ears, to just hear the words that Jesus has spoken. This is not wisdom, nor is it what Jesus commanded. As a parent commands their children to go and to clean their room, mere knowledge of what the parent said or memorization of what the parent said was not the command. In the same way, we are to be doers of God's word, not mere readers or listeners. James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. He looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. James goes on in James 2, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but is not of works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving him the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, that does not have works, is dead. But some will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see, the faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works, and the scriptures was fulfilled and says Abraham believed God and was counted to him as righteousness. It was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. So faith alone saves, but faith is resting in and trusting in that of Jesus Christ alone produces obedience to the commands of God. The wise man is not the man who listens. The wise woman is not the one who completes study after study and book after book. The wise man is not the one who holds a seminary degree and says, I am a doctor. The wise man or woman is the one who hears the words of Jesus and obeys the words of Jesus. That we are called to act on the words that Jesus preached, not just listen to them. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So the doers of God's word, they are wise. The doers of God's word are those who built their house on the rock. The word for rock here in the Greek is Petra. It is a large stone of firmness and great strength. This is not just speaking to a person's justification or salvation. That's not what he's talking about here. We can have a life full of works and not be saved. This is just simply saying, those who are God's children, they hear his words and they do his words. God's children have the mark of obedience, a pattern of obedience to what God has commanded to them. The wise man or woman is the one who hears and obeys God's word. They are like the one who built their house on the rock. You know, when purchasing a home, typically they say you need to look for three things when you are buying a home. Location, location, location. That's what you want to look for when you are purchasing a home. You can have the most beautiful home, but that home could be in a bad location. You can find a home of your dreams, but it might be built on a questionable foundation. The one whose faith is all in Jesus Christ, who listens and obeys God's word, is like the wise man and woman who built their house on the rock. Their house in life is built on that of pure, eternal strength. Their house in life is secure, strong, founded upon a firm foundation in this life. So why is a person's foundation so important? That's a wonderful question. Thank you so much for asking that. Matthew 7, verse 25. Then the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Our lives are not free from troubles and storms. Therefore, your foundation is of supreme importance. The rain will come, the floods will come, the wind will blow, and the foundation will be put to the test. And in this life, there is only one foundation that leads to eternal life in heaven. There's only one foundation that will forever stand the test of time. The rain, the floods, and the winds cannot move or shake or destroy this foundation. There is only one foundation that leads to eternal life in heaven with Jesus Christ, and this foundation is that of the apostles and the prophets. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as its cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. The stone sets the whole foundation. It squares and secures the structure. In Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He himself is our peace, who made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So the foundation of the apostles and prophets has Jesus Christ as its cornerstone. You see, the firm foundation is that which God the Father spoke about in Genesis 3, verse 15, when he promised a Savior for mankind. The firm foundation is that which the prophets of old spoke about. It is the wise man in Psalm 1 who delights in God's law. The firm foundation is that which John the Baptist proclaimed, that which Jesus Christ proclaimed when he began his ministry, as well as the disciples and the apostles. The early church proclaimed this firm foundation. Faithful Christians throughout every generation, they proclaimed this foundation. And God's true children remain faithful today in passing on this good, old, strong, firm foundation. 2 Timothy chapter 2. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing the seal. The Lord knows who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. So the firm foundation stands. The Lord knows who his children are. His children cleanse themselves. His children depart from what is dishonorable. His children are ready for every good work. They flee youthful passions, and they pursue righteousness. The result of this firm foundation, the house that is built upon the rock, is that the rains will fall, the floods will obviously come, the winds will blow as strong as they wish, but that house, the people in that house that is built on that rock, it will remain forever fixed, unshakable. I don't know if you've ever been out in a storm before, whether it's in your car or out in nature, unable to get to your house to be guarded by it, but you understand what happens when the storm comes. You become fearful and frightened, and yet in God's Word, we have the promise of security. We have the promise of knowing that you are saved, and you can find rest and strength and security, and you can hide yourself because you were found in Christ. R.C. Sproul said, when the church moves away from an apostolic foundation, she inevitably falls. It was Jesus Christ who established the apostles as the foundation of the church. If a person rejects the apostolic writings, he rejects the authority of Christ. If he rejects the authority of Christ, he rejects God himself. Therefore, the wise thing to do is to believe and act on the words of Jesus. So having assurance of our salvation is not based on anything new. It's not based on our creativity. It is based on the foundation of the apostles and that of the prophets, having Jesus Christ as its cornerstone. So do you do the words of God, or do you just merely know them? Are you a follower of God, or do you just take notes? Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The wise man has a firm foundation that leads to eternal life in heaven. Truth too, the foolish man has a fragile foundation that leads to eternal punishment in hell. The foolish man has a fragile foundation that leads to eternal punishment in hell. Matthew 7, verse 26. And everyone then who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So house number one is built on the rock. Those who live in this house, they hear God's word and they obey God's word. They are wise men and women. The foundation of their house is secure and it weathers the storm. House number two is built on the sand. Recently, our family was at the Great Sand Dunes in Colorado. And we got sleds and we went down, and we rode down sleds down this hill. But over a period of time, after you go down the hill, you go back up. The steps that you took, they're no longer there. The trail from the sled is no longer there. Why? Because the winds came, they blew that sand, and the sand shifted, and the sand changed. House number two is built on the sand. Those who live in this house, they just listen to God's word. There is no action. There is no obedience. They think because they have heard, they have done their job. They do not do God's word. They are foolish men and women. This house is on the sand, holding those who do not obey God's word. And when the rain and floods come, along with the winds beating on that house, the house will fall. In other words, the house will collapse, and great will be the crash of this house. The house on the sand, it does not last. It may look beautiful to the world. It may look wonderful, but it's not going to last, and it's temporary. Those who only hear God's word, they will fall. Those who do not obey God's word, they have a fragile foundation that is even decaying at this moment, even though they are unaware. Let's look at the words from Luke chapter 6. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When a flood rose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So the wise man's foundation is the rock. The foolish man's foundation is the sand, which is really no foundation at all. When the storm comes, this house will fall, and the fall of this house will be great. This house will absolutely come to ruin. So the question for every soul is, which foundation are you presently on? Is your life built upon the sand, or is your life built upon the rock? Do you just hear God's words, or do you act on God's word, obeying his commands? Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, there's great intimacy there. The person thinks that they have a relationship with God, but they do not. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. For the last few weeks, our focus has been the assurance of our salvation, because this is what the Son of God has been teaching his disciples. John MacArthur said, the house represents a religious life. The rain represents divine judgment. In other words, divine judgment is coming. Only the one built on the foundation of obedience to God's word stands, which calls for repentance and rejection of salvation by works, and trust in God's grace to save through his merciful provision. As you hear God's word today, I beg of you, examine your life. Don't just listen. Maybe you have wonderful theology. Maybe you're an individual who has a photographic memory. Maybe you read all the time and fill your head with knowledge. I'm asking you, examine your heart according to the Word of God. The Word of God instructs us that he not only predestined his children for salvation, he also creates his children for good works, which he prepared that you would walk in. Those whom he predestines, they will obey. Ephesians 2, 8-10, for by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So where are you standing? Where is your location? What is your foundation? Is it the rock, or is it the sand? Because if you notice, it's one of the two. There's not an intermediate state. It's not as if the foundation is being laid at this moment. You cannot lay the foundation. The foundation is that of the apostles and the prophets with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. Is the fruit of your life ears of hearing and lip service, or is the fruit of your life obedience? J.C. Ryle said, a religion that costs us nothing and consists in nothing but hearing sermons will always prove at last to be a useless thing. The wise man had a firm foundation that leads to eternal life in heaven. The foolish man has a fragile foundation that leads to eternal punishment in hell. Truth number three, the authority of Jesus Christ is himself, because Jesus is God. Look at Matthew 7, verse 28. When Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds, they were astonished at his teaching. He was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. You see, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus climbs up on this mountain, he sits down, and his disciples come to him, others come to him, and he begins to teach them. And throughout verse after verse, page after page, he ends his sermon, and people are astonished at his teaching. The crowds were amazed in what they heard from Christ, for everything that they heard was made clear. Jesus, he taught with authority, and the crowds recognized his authority. Authority, exousia, one teaching with great power. The teaching of Jesus was not like the scribes, for their teaching was based upon what others said, while the teaching of Jesus was based upon himself. It was based upon absolute truth because it was based upon God. Jesus taught with power because he is God and he is sovereignly ruling over all things. It's a good reminder for all of us. We can come in here and we can go out there into the world. We can quote philosophers. We can quote authors. We can quote teachers and pastors. We can quote modern day thinkers or famous historical figures. But when it comes to our spiritual life, when it comes to our personal justification, we had better stand upon the rock quoting God. The words of Jesus, the God of our salvation, the one that we gather together to worship, the one that we sing praises to, we had better have our foundation fixed firmly upon his absolute ruling truth. So once again, we have arrived to a question. Who will we listen to and who will we follow? Will we follow the shifting sand of this world? The ideas of men that will ultimately that house will collapse? Or will we follow the words of Jesus Christ and stand upon the rock where nothing can tear apart that foundation? Isaiah 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who is laid as a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation, that whoever believes will not be in haste. That Jesus Christ is a precious cornerstone. He is a sure foundation for us. That whoever believes in him will not be put to shame and will not be disturbed. 1 John 2, 3 through 6. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. You see, if we claim to know the truth, but our life doesn't walk a pattern of that truth, we have been deceived. The children of God, they are conformed more and more and more into the image of God. Who I was in high school when the Lord saved me is not who I am today.
Amen.
The walk in which Jesus has done in my life, the sanctification in which he has caused me to do, he has worked. I don't look at those good works and say, I'm saved because of those good works. I look at those good works and I say, this is what Christ has produced because he has saved me by his grace. The Son of God has been extremely clear in this sermon. There are two ways. There are two gates. There are two destinations. There are two groups of people. There are two trees. There are two fruits. There are two treasures. And there are two foundations. So according to the teaching of Jesus Christ, you are either wise or you are foolish. Do you have a pattern of walking according to the Word of God? Do you obey God or do you just listen to what he has said? The wise man has a firm foundation that leads to eternal life in heaven. He obeys the Word of God. The wise man has great confidence of belonging to Christ. There is great joy and happiness in knowing that you have been purchased by the blood of a lamb. That when the storms of life come, when the foundation of the wise man that is firm and will not be shaken, you can rejoice because Christ is that foundation. He's the cornerstone that's holding it all together. The foolish man has a fragile foundation that leads to eternal punishment in hell. He does not obey the Word of God. The foolish man lives an unstable life that continually shifts on the fragile foundation of sin. When the storm comes, when the final judgment arrives, the fall of this foundation will be great, even to the point of people saying, "Lord, Lord, did I not do this for you? Did I not do this for you?" And Jesus says, "Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I never knew you." So what is your foundation? Is it the rock or the sand? Have you been trusting in what some man or woman has said? Or have you been firmly established upon the rock, trusting in what God has breathed? Is the fruit of your life obedience? Do not leave this place believing that you will be the authority at your judgment. When you die and you stand before the Lord, your judge is God, and He has all authority. Jesus Christ is the authority, and He will judge everyone. And He knows our hearts. He sees beyond our lip service. So are you wise or foolish? I'm calling you to examine yourself. Maybe you've been here 10 years and you have a wonderful relationship with me. That's wonderful. I love you and I care about you and I'm praying for you. But your relationship with me has nothing to do with me preaching the Word of God and calling everyone, including myself, to examine their own life. Have you truly repented of your sin and trusted in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? Do you truly love and follow the Lord, or do you just love listening to what God has said? God's children, they will love Him by keeping His commandments. They will have a life that is pleasing to Him. Why? Because God, the God who saves, is a God who matures and sanctifies. He will see to it that that tree will bear good fruit. And so if you're a Christian this morning, that's wonderful news for you. God is just not great when it comes to salvation. God is great when it comes to everything. He is great when it comes to growing us, maturing us. He's patient. He's very patient in revealing to us our sin. The foundation that we have, it can withstand everything that comes our way because He is that good. He promises to make us more and more into the image of Christ until one day we reach that destination in which we have been fully glorified and we sin no more. And we praise the Lord all of our days. How wonderful a God it is that we serve. Do you bear good fruit? Do you please the Lord with your life? Examine yourself. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word. Father, your word is clear. Lord, I pray that we would truly examine ourselves according to your word. Not according to what men and women have said, but according to what you have breathed out for us to know and to hide in our hearts. Father, we also pray, Lord, that you would make the people whom you have redeemed people who love to please you by keeping your commands, of hiding your commands on our heart, knowing what you have said, knowing what you have called us to do and to not do. A people who long to please you with the life that we have been given. Lord, help us to please you. We cannot do it in our own strength, just like we cannot lay our own foundation. You have clearly laid the foundation for the apostles and prophets throughout time with Jesus Christ as cornerstone, holding it all together. Lord, thank you for your glorious word. Thank you for the opportunity for us to gather together, to sing, and to hear your word read and proclaimed. How gracious you are. Help us to examine ourselves right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.